Today is December 1st. This is December 1st, 1974. Now, this is the year of Watergate. This is the year of Agnew's resignation, Nixon's resignation. Ford has taken over. He's sashaying all over the world. He's been to just returned from his trip to Russia, and our economy is in a heck of a state just now. We don't know whether we're going into a depression, or we're going into a deep recession, or whatever it is. We just don't know what's coming on. But at any rate, at the present time, our economic development is at a standstill. So while I'm waiting around for something to develop, I think I'll backtrack a little bit on my story to the latter part of 1957. When I first came to Tarboro, shortly after I came to Tarboro, I became identified with the State Black Medical Society. That is the old North State Medical Society, which maybe I stated before, but anyway, I state again that it is the second oldest Black Medical Society in the United States. And it was only through state medical societies and with affiliated local organizations that black doctors could get together and talk about our common problems and be updated to some extent on the changes in medical practice and surgical. We had a local medical society which was known as the Rocky Mountain Academy of Medicine, and the membership embraced the black physicians in Edgecombe and Nash counties, and a few from Halifax County. That was our local medical society. In addition to that, we had a regional medical society we called the East Carolina Medical Society, which was composed of members from the different counties in the eastern part of the state. And the East Carolina Medical Society was an affiliate of the Old North State Medical Society. That was the state medical society. And I was glad to become affiliated with the different, with all of the different levels of black medical fraternity in this area. And I began to, from the very beginning, I made it a point to attend the meetings of all the societies in order to try to keep up. Well, I found very little. We did discuss our problems, and we had a plenty of discussion of problems. However, there was the discussion of advances in medicine and surgery were very meager. After all, though, that was all that we had, and I continued to put in my appearance and give the support to all of the medical societies in order to sort of try to bring about some improvement. In about 5 years, I was elected recording secretary, running secretary of the Medical Society, Old North State Medical Society. I held that post for several years. And then progressively I was elected to different offices, and finally in 1957 I was elected president of Old North State Medical Society. During the interim, both the attendance and the quality of the subject matter discussed at the medical society meetings improved immensely. I want to hasten to say, however, that the improvement was not as a result of my efforts. I was just one of the gang. The secretary-treasurer of the Medical Society at that time and for many years previously was Dr. Clyde Donnell, who was the medical director of the North Carolina Mutual Insurance Company. Dr. Donnell labored hard and long in an effort to bring some life into the medical society. He was a graduate of Harvard. Medical School. And as new younger men came into the state, men better prepared, better trained, some in the specialties of surgery, some in internal medicine and whatnot, Dr. Donnell insisted that they be pushed forward to the front and insisted that they take part in the programs and bring us some worthwhile information. During my tenure in office, we attempted to continue the improvements that Dr. Donnell had initiated. Now, let's take another look at this, at the typical Negro patient that we treated back in those days. Most of them were sharecroppers, as I said, with very little money. And we had to treat these patients. We saw them in our offices, and we made house calls sometime as far as 25 and 35 miles in the country. If we were near enough to, those of us who were near enough to a black-operated hospital were very fortunate in that we could get the seriously ill patients into those hospitals, you know, if there were bed space available. But those of us out here where I was, where they had to go so far in order to get to a black hospital, sometimes the patient would be dead by the time you get there. And if you were fortunate enough to get the patient into a white operated hospital out here, our relationship with that patient stopped right at the door of the hospital. We had to turn him over to a physician or surgeon in a white hospital. Well, we were unable to file our cases through. It can be readily seen that if we couldn't follow our patients through in medicine and surgery or whatever you had, we couldn't improve our condition. We couldn't improve our training. In fact, our training stopped. We were, you know, what I might call a traffic cop. So far as we see the patient out in the home and we do all the dirty work, getting out there at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we see that this patient needs hospital care, we have to direct them to a police hospital just like a traffic cop directed the stream of traffic around the corner. He was lost to us. And so far, and we were unable to improve our diagnostic skill, our treatments. And those of us who had a surgical, who had surgical background were unable to practice our surgery out here. Now there's another element in this thing. The North Carolina Department of Public Welfare gave us a nominal amount of money for seeing these patients in the office and in the home. And if they had to go to a hospital, the physician in the hospital was paid just almost his regular amount of his regular charges for treating the patients. This was sort of bad in that we had to do all the dirty work, and if any money was to be made in the transaction, it was made by the white physician who only accepted the patient at the door with a provisional diagnosis that he had something to work on. He could go on and develop it, find out what's wrong with the patient, and administer the treatment, surgical or medical, whichever it may be, whichever would be indicated, and he'd be much better paid for what he had to do. Didn't have to go through all of the dirty work of getting the patient in from the rural areas, anything like that. Well, the black physicians began to think about this thing, and we, you know, just wanted to know why in the hell we couldn't get the privileges in hospitals to look after our patients. Well, some of us made applications to the white hospitals in our areas for staff privileges, and we were advised that one of the first prerequisites for staff appointments was membership in the State Medical Society. In order to become a member, get membership in the State Medical Society, you had to be a member of the County Medical Society. Now, in the event a fair-minded white physician would recommend us for membership in the County Medical Society, membership general membership of the County Medical Society would immediately turn down our application, refuse our application for membership. Even if we had been able to obtain membership in the White County Medical Society, we could not become members of the State Medical Society because they had a white-only clause in there. You had to be not only be graduate of Class A medical school, must not only have passed the board in North Carolina, State Board of Medical Examiners, but you also had to be white. We had that white clause in there. Some of our members applied for membership, and some black physicians applied for membership in the White Medical Society, and they were politely turned down. And we felt that that was discrimination, uncalled for discrimination. But as a group, and as we were unable to fight the thing because we were unable to get into the White Medical Society. We were unable to get anybody on our side except for a few sympathetic white physicians that saw the inequalities and saw the who had guts enough to stand up and state that the whole thing was unfair. Inasmuch as we'd all finished the Class A medical schools, we'd all passed the board of medical examiners, North Carolina Board of Medical Examiners, and we issued the same type of license. We could not get membership, we could not get staff membership solely because of the fact that we were black. Well, that called for a lot of hard infighting by the sympathetic white physicians who worked very hard in order to get that clause, white-only clause, removed from the charter of the State Medical Society. Well, we wouldn't be discouraged, just couldn't afford to be discouraged to take this thing lying down. At one of the meetings of the Old North State, it was decided that we would form a committee, and a committee was appointed to contact the offices of the Medical Society, the North Carolina Medical Society, White. And the North Carolina Medical Society just why we were denied membership in their organization. The members of the committee included Dr. Emory Rand, Dr. Hubert Eaton, Dr. George Evans, one or two others, and myself. We contacted the North Carolina Medical Society, and they did send a committee to meet with us in an effort to give us some information on the questions that we had to put to them. The first question we asked the members of the North State Medical Society was, why is it that we could not obtain staff memberships so that we might be able to follow through our patients in their hospitals and treat them just as any other doctor was allowed to do? The answers given by the members of the committee varied. Now, one doctor said, well, it's all right with me, but you understand how it is with the people, the white people. They wouldn't stand for black doctors, wouldn't stand for colored doctors treating patients in the same hospital that they were in. It was the white members thought that these laws would have to be changed before we could be admitted to their societies. And furthermore, they stated that they had social activities and that they didn't think that the white physician would stand for Negroes and whites to be entertained at the same time at the social activities. In fact, some of them said they wouldn't know what would happen if a black doctor would ask their wives for a dance. It would be insulting to the wives, and it would cause so much unpleasantness that we just couldn't stand for it. Anyway, just couldn't stand for it. One venerable white physician said he just brought up the hypothetical case that what would happen in the event that they had a banquet and a black physician would sit next to his wife at the banquet table. You see, he just couldn't stand for anything like that. He would not be able to take it at all. And that would cause so much unpleasantness to us. Rather than go through all that unpleasantness, they thought it better to exclude all black physicians. Well, under the circumstances, we found that we weren't getting anywhere. And, of course, at the end of the meeting, we found that we hadn't made any progress whatsoever. And we went back to the Old North State Medical Society at the interim meeting, the board of directors, and we made our report. Of course, it was decided then that there was nothing further we could do except to have our good friends white friends who were already members of the North Carolina Medical Society fight for us in their House of Delegates meeting. I've already recorded stated just what subsequently happened that finally led to the opening of the doors of all the state medical societies to blacks. As a result of the passing of the civil rights laws and as a result of the establishment of the Hill Burton Foundation for improving hospitals, building hospitals, it was stipulated, it was understood perfectly that in any Hill Burton hospital, physicians should be allowed staff membership regardless of race, creed, or color, so long as they pass the necessary qualifications insofar as the certification by the respective state boards.